Good morning, everyone. Today is a little bit of an unconventional message that we have, so if you're joining us for the first time, please bear with us. This isn't typical. But Trevor, just being a really intentional person, wanted to, or I've noticed that he's been working to kind of increase the communication of just different activities, events, and ministry-type opportunities that we have both within the D.C. and beyond. So on Monday, he reached out and had asked if we would be willing to give an update, or I guess more of like a recap on family camp, and just, you know, a short 10-minute, you know, spiel, and then he would, for 10-ish minutes, give an update on a ministry that their family's been involved with the past couple years of the Gleanings ministry. And so that was the original plan, was he was going to be doing that. It was kind of funny because on Wednesday, we touched base and we were kind of talking through, okay, you know, this is what we'll go through. And then, you know, he was letting me what he was going to go through. And I kind of was kicking myself because I hadn't signed up for a summer series, message yet that we do. So I was, you know, because I'm lame, I hadn't signed up for that. And the one that is open, which is next week, which I think is still open, I'm not able to do because I will be out of town. So anyways, I was, you know, feeling bad. So I was like, you know, I'm sorry for that. But if you have, you know, something on short notice that you need, just let me know. And I'll, you know, I'll definitely try to fill that if someone can't handle it. So that was just on Wednesday. Fast forward to Saturday, he calls me up and he's like, I got a really bad stomach bug. I won't be there. Can you guys just take your message and do the full thing? So I was like, daggum, Trevor, like that's like commitment is 4 days old, like already testing it out. But anyways, so here we are. We're going to be giving a recap of family camp, and I brought in the big guns today. So both of us will be kind of tag teaming this. And truly it is not only because she does so much in preparation, you know, leading up to family camp, but just when we're there, there's so much going on that she sees different things than I do and vice versa. We have kind of different perspectives. So I thought it would be good for both of us to tag team with my co-camp director here. So I do want to start off and just say that this year was it was an absolute blessing to be part of family camp. It truly was just a wonderful testimony to the Lord. And yes, like I had mentioned, like there is a lot of work that we do that goes into making sure that camp is as fun as possible, right, guys? That you know, it's exciting and that camp runs smoothly. And then, of course, when we're up there, like just spending time with the families that are there is just it really makes the time very special. But at the forefront, it does feel, and this has been our prayers, that the Lord is with us and around us and through us while we're at summer camp. We feel his presence while we are there. And that was our prayer, you know, years ago when we started this camp, is that was what we wanted. And so I wanted to give that testimony to him, that thankfulness to him, because it is definitely an answer to prayer. So this is our third year doing camp, which I was talking to Stacy on our way home. Next year, when it's our fourth year, because we do a camp T-shirt every year, and since we're up there for 4 days, we will be able to wear a camp T-shirt for every single day that we're up there. So I thought that was kind of a fun thought. And we had 41 campers, which was felt like a really good turnout. And every year we kind of keep the same rhythm of camp. We kind of have the same daily schedule set out. It's kind of a rinse and repeat year after year, but we just have different topic and different, you know, content that we talk about. And we have a lot of the kind of typical like summer camp activities that you would think of. We have archery, we have wrist rockets, we have bingo, we have Orbi Wars, we have roasting marshmallows over the fire, making s'mores, and kind of having that campfire conversations and all those typical things that you have with camp. But our purpose for starting family camp was not just to have fun, but for that short snippet of time to continue to grow in grace and knowledge while we're there, but doing it in an environment that we're not normally in, being out and about in nature surrounded by God's creation. So we do spend several hours at different points throughout the year developing and thinking of, like, what do we want our topic and our focus to be for this, you know, coming camp year. And ever since, I would say ever since, like, last camp ended, the thought of praise and worship just had been on our hearts. That's kind of something, a recurring thought that we had talked about just at different points, and it just felt like it was something that we really wanted to focus on. And it's kind of ironic because neither one of us are musically inclined, like, at all. It's just not really, you know, kind of been a part of us, but we just had felt that that was something that God had laid on our heart that we wanted to do. And the first year of summer camp, Kate spent a lot of time pulling together this really incredible worship binder. So not only did it have, like, the song list of worship songs that we were going to go through, but she laid out the postures of worship and described those. And we didn't really get a chance kind of in the first year or two really to get into that very much, but it definitely was a springboard to what had been on our hearts for this year. So it ended up working out really great. One of the questions that we had asked ourselves kind of leading up to it and asked while we were at camp is, are we worshiping the way that God desires to be worshiped? Is it something that we're worshiping the way we want to or the way that we're comfortable with? Or is it truly what God has prescribed in his scriptures of how he prefers, how he desires to be worshiped? So that was something that was in the back of our minds as we were going through it. Our camp focus this year was centered around Psalm 98, which we do have here. That was kind of a new addition to camp, as we had a lot of printouts and our schedule, and we got the camp verse here. So if you have your Bibles and you want to turn to Psalm 98, we're going to read that in just a minute. It kind of goes without saying that we could have picked like 1,000 different verses that have to do with praise and worship to the Lord. But when Stacy had picked this particular psalm, like the more that I read it, the more that I grew to appreciate it. But some of you might remember I did a couple of sermons on the spiritual disciplines, and I didn't cover worship, but worship was one of them in the book that I was reading, Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster. And so he's talking about worship there, and worship can take on several different forms, right? It doesn't always come with singing and praises, but it can be. There's prayer and adoration. In Romans, Paul even tells us that when we present our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, even that is our spiritual service of worship, right? So it can come in different forms. But for camp, we, you know, focus more on the praise and worship side. And so one of the questions is, what is worship? That's one of the questions that was asked in the book. And the author answers it by stating, worship is the human response to the divine initiative. Worship is the human response to the divine initiative. So God has done something for us, and worshiping him is our response to that. Right? And I know we've kind of shared the sentiment, even if God does nothing else for us from now forward, what he has already done, he is worthy of our praise for the rest of our lives and into eternity. So that thought, I'm going to have Stacy come up and read Psalm 98 to you all. And as she reads it, or as you follow along, kind of think of that concept of the human response to the divine initiative, and we'll talk a little bit more about it after she's done.
All right, if you want to follow along with me, Psalm 98. O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wonderful things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained the victory for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his loving kindness and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth and sing for joy and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody. With trumpets and the sound of the horn, shout joyfully before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity.
So just as I said before, worship is the human response to the divine initiative. So in that psalm, even just how it starts, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done many wonderful things. And the first three verses go and they list, you know, a handful of things that God has done. And then four through the rest of the psalm, which I think is eight verses, or total of eight verses, it is kind of the response, shouting joyfully to the Lord, breaking forth with singing, using the lyre, the trumpet, etc. It talks about that response for worship. So this was the verse for the duration of camp, and we, you know, tried to focus on that and the different things that that we had done with camp. As I mentioned earlier, camp has kind of a rhythm to it, and so Thursday night is the first night of camp, and it's really just kind of get there late afternoon. You're really just setting up, pitching a tent, trying to orient yourself. We kind of go through the rules and what we're going to be doing for camp. And so it's really just kind of like an orientation time on a Thursday. But on Friday mornings, we form our breakout groups. And because it's family camp, obviously we have a wide range of ages that we have coming there. I think our youngest camper was 4 years old. And then it's all the way up to Jeremy, who's like 50-something. And so we have that wide range, and so we do little breakouts to make sure that when we're kind of trying to focus on things of spiritual matter, that you're with kind of your peers and you can kind of have that conversation. So those are our breakout groups, and Stacy has been facilitating the adult breakout groups. This year in particular, Megan and I kind of tag teamed the youth. So I'm going to have Stacy come up and share a little bit about the adult breakout session.
Let me give these to you. Thanks.
We have 15-ish of these, so maybe we can get one per household. That'd be great.
All right. I learned my lesson at our end of year ceremony for CC this year that when that I don't see very well, so I'm on the verge of maybe needing glasses. Mike graciously print this out for me in 14-point font. And that I feel always much larger than the microphone, so I have the stand here so that I'm not bending over, because I do like to talk with my hands. But really, I wanted to center back to the reason why we're standing over here today is this time of what Mike and I are doing. It's really just an extended testimony of God's kindness, and to me, that's really what camp is. It's his kindness towards us to afford us the opportunity to gather together in his creation and just celebrate him and have fun. I love coming to church here because of the liturgy, and there is a seriousness to it, and there's a reverence to it. And then it's amazing to be able to go in other things that we do, not just camp, but other things that we do, and just have fun, or just rejoice in his presence. And so I really appreciated that. I just, his kindness to us, to even afford us the opportunity to do that. So as Mike said, I've had the pleasure of facilitating the adult breakout sessions for the past 3 years at camp, and I really love it. It's an opportunity for me to kumbaya, to kind of get to know everyone a little bit better, and it really is my favorite time. Our breakout sessions span over 2 days, and I'll be honest, this year in particular, it didn't really seem like enough time. We could have just, we allot only about 30 minutes to it. Mostly for the mercy of those who are facilitating the kids' breakout sessions. But this year in particular, the adult breakout session just didn't seem long enough. I felt like we could have stayed there much longer, really diving into a lot of the things that we were talking about. And sometimes, too, in my mind, we're sitting around in a circle, and we're cross-legged, of course, you know, and it's like this sharing of deep feelings and our thoughts. But, you know, as it turns out, that's kind of difficult with adults. And so it was a practice for my own self to just sit and be quiet, because I'm turning into my mother. I can easily fill the gaps with words. And sometimes it just calls for silence, pardon me, and letting people find courage to share. And we settled for the kumbaya moment of folding chairs in the mulch, and it was equally as awesome. But for session one, I just really love to discover and kind of give everybody an opportunity to just chat. And so I was interested in hearing people's praise past. So we, as Christians, you know, you kind of hear like, what is your testimony? What is your testimony? What is your testimony? And it's not just one thing, especially the older you get. It's not just one thing. We have many testimonies within the big testimony. And so hearing people's praise past, or your praise testimony, if you will, was interesting to me, because I know all of you in the context of the Disciple Center, but I didn't know you before. And those things are important. It's important to know where we came from, where we are, and why are we here today. And so that's what we did. We focused on, how did we grow up praising? Was it hymns? I know Darissa is often pulling from hymns, and I didn't grow up with those. Was it the concert style, you know, or was it the youth group jams? You guys know what I'm talking about, those youth group jams. And really asking ourselves, how do we praise now? So it was great having folks also from different backgrounds this year, but also from different congregations. So if you guys see on the screen, we had the Williams family and the Perino family join us this year. We allowed outsiders, you know, it's a thing. But they really added to the discussion and helped me personally get outside of like the DC box, you know, because we've been here praising this way for 15, 16, something years, a long time. It's been a while. And there's such a goodness to it. And then I remember that, oh yes, people praise other ways and it's equally enjoyable to God. And so what does that look like? So again, it was just great to hear everyone. They had different experiences. Some people not being raised in the church, some people faithful churchgoers every Sunday. Those of us who are in the middle, that was me. We were in the middle kind of family. So that was really great as well. So this was an important time for us to be an active listener and let other people's praise testimonies resonate with our own, making connections of some like shared experiences and similarities, but also hearing the experiences that were different too, and celebrating those too. So I know that the way that I worshiped today is not reflective of how I praised God in my youth. I was definitely in the youth group jams group. That's where I really entered into praise. I don't have a lot of Sunday school memories, honestly. We didn't really do that a whole lot when it was, that was the this for me. But going into, pardon me, high school youth group was where there was just a freedom there, and it was really lovely. So anyway, I believe it was impactful to hear each other's stories of faith and growth. So that time really became a favorite for me personally. So our second session, which Mike already handed out because he's so efficient, I actually needed one of those myself.
Thank you, ma'am.
Share the brand. Okay. So our second session was a contemplative dive into the postures of worship, and this is the one where I wish we had more time for. In fact, Mike's and Megan's breakout group was done, and he was like, nobody go under the containers, like the adults are still talking, because the conversation was really great. So things that we were resonating on is God has literally hardwired us to worship. We are hardwired to worship. So if we don't worship him, we will worship something, right? So being intentional, that is how he created us to be. It's not an accident. It's not an oopsie. He designed us to worship, to praise. It will go somewhere. So how do we focus it to go to him? In his word, he's laid out how he desires to be praised. So we had to ask ourselves, is the way that we worship him how he prefers? We worked through the postures with these things in mind. So we took time to walk through each posture of worship that you guys have in front of you. And we read through them and assessed, what does this posture make you think of? Maybe respect, maybe surrender, maybe humility. We went through adjectives of what do these postures make you think of? And then we dove into where do we see them in the world? So these postures of worship are not only shown in churches or at religious concerts or whatever. We see them all in the world. through secular concerts, sporting events, and even weddings, right? We see these postures delved out and to music. That's the thing. It's also, it's given to music, which lyrics are important. Words have meaning. So while we walk through these postures, it was becoming clear to me personally that we have a much easier time expressing ourselves, particularly in the postures, other places but at church. And I was like, ooh, for me. It was as if the world provided socially acceptable places for us to give our worship. So I know when we have praise on at home, at our house, it's easy to make a genuine movement to the Lord. Like, it's easy. I'm moving, and it's genuine. I'm not thinking about it. I'm not wondering what my kids think about me or Mike thinks about me. I'm just in the moment with God. And I want to get to the place where it becomes part of my corporate worship with you all. So that's my confession today. Okay. So if you look at your handout, I'd like you to focus on the word shakah. So shakah means calls us to bow down, lie down before our God. It accounts for more than 80% of the appearances of worship in the Bible. So 8 out of 10 times it says worship is meaning to lie on your face before him. One of our breakout participants said that whenever I want to be closer to God, I need to get lower to the ground. Where when we're thinking about worship, sometimes we have the images of our hands raised up. It's like we're like pick me up, like let me touch you. But in fact, to be closer to him, we need to get lower. It's a depiction of less of me, God, and more of you. So then conversely, if you would read halal with me, halal is a primary Hebrew root word for praise, and it means to be clear, to shine, to boast, show, to rave, celebrate. This one's hard for me. To be clamorously foolish. Yeah. Spoken about 165 times in the Bible. On the back, there's some scripture, too, that coincides with these. I don't think I labeled them. Oh, I did. I'm so good. I labeled them and bolded them. Okay. so that you could read through those yourself. But when I read the one about halal, I literally said, woo, like that, like, woo, out loud. This introvert, I was like, okay, God, yeah, sure. I'm sure that's what you meant. A clamorously foolish, I'll do that for you. But that one is absolutely outside of my comfort zone, but it's one that I'm striving to give to him because he's worthy. So I would encourage you, because this is a camp recap and not really a sermon today, I would really encourage you guys to take these home and walk through them with your family. And go over the postures of worship and think about if you see them. So take these home and think about, do you see them in God's house? And how can we make that happen? I'm still working on worshiping him more confessions today. The way that he asks me, even when it feels way outside of my personal comfort zone, because like I said, he is so worthy. He's so worthy. So after this time, I felt that I personally actually needed to repent. And ask him for forgiveness and grace as I stumble through my own insecurities and strive to praise him like this one always makes me cry. Like, he's the literal King of Kings, guys, right? He's the literal King of Kings. So he's not just, a ruler. He is our Father. He is the literal King of Kings. And if I was going to praise someone or give adoration to someone of this world, I better give it to my King better, louder, more genuine, and deeper because he is worthy. So my hope is the conversation started at camp won't end there, that they will continue as we strive to praise our King better. That's me.
So just kind of piggybacking off of that thought, it is also very difficult for me to display these postures of worship. So one of the things that I have been trying to work on, or at least improve in, like Stacy was mentioning, is that I guess an easy way of doing it would be that if you are singing a praise or worship song, there's plenty of postures that you are singing about, whether it's, clapping your hands or lifting your hands in the air or kneeling down. bowing down. These are all in the hymns that we sing. And so it can be natural just to kind of follow along with what you're singing and having your body language, right? We communicate with our body language. So having that just kind of be in sync with what we're singing. Obviously, you don't have to do that by any means, but it can be an easy way of kind of introducing yourself to doing these different postures of worship, because they're all throughout the hymns if you just take a minute and read through that. So just kind of a thought on that. Back up here, okay. So while the adults had their breakout sessions, the youth had one as well. And in years past, we would usually break them up into several smaller groups. So we would have the littles, which is like the 6, 7, 8-year-olds. Then we'd have our mids, which is like 9, 10, 11. And then we'd have the older kids / young adults, and they are, you know, 12, 13, 14 area. We approached this year a little bit differently, and we brought all of the youth together into one group. And so we wanted to have a similar focus to what the adults were talking about, but we wanted it to be conducive for the age groups that we had. So we did talk a little bit about the postures, but more than just talk about them, we wanted to do them. So we wanted to use our bodies. We wanted to make a joyful noise to the Lord with different instruments or an instrument, and maybe even wave a banner before the Lord, just kind of as a testimony to him and his victory, to the God of Jacob and to the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So for the majority of the breakout session for the youth, we prepared what we called a display of worship from the kids for the Lord. So I'm sure many of you have heard the song Lion. It's by Brandon Lake and Chris Brown. One of the things that I really like about this song, again, kind of just in talking about the postures, is that one of the, I don't know if it's a verse or a chorus or a whatever it is, I'm not very, like I said, not musically inclined, but one of the parts of the song, it talks about, it pulls it from Isaiah, and it says, "Oh, valleys be raised up, oh, mountains be made low." Right? And so just whether it be that or whether it be in our verse for that camp theme where it's talking about the oceans will roar and the rivers will clap, or if it's talking about rocks crying out, even nature will change its posture for the Lord. And so how much more should we who are animate objects do the same? So that really stuck out with me for this song. So during the song, the young ladies would kind of do these do hand motions and dance, and while they were doing that, the young men were either using rhythm sticks or they were waving flags before the Lord. And one of the things early on, because I know my kids and I know some of your kids pretty well, is that I knew that not everybody is a performer, right? Not everybody wanted to do something, especially in front of someone, but what we really focused on was that this was not a performance for the parents. This wasn't something we're practicing to kind of show them. This was, we called it a display of worship or an offering of worship before the Lord. And that was our focus. It was something that they could bring to their king. It wasn't something that they were doing for someone else. And it really felt that kind of throughout, they only had maybe a grand total of like, I don't know, 2.5 or maybe 3 hours most between the whole time that we were at camp of actually doing this and practicing and trying to get it right. Again, not to look good for other people, but to be pleasing to the Lord and give that effort, do something in unison and in sync and have it be a blessing to the Lord. Because again, knowing my kids, there's like a lot of kids are here are performers, and they love singing and dancing and acting in front of people, and some are not. And that is my kids. So seeing just how everybody participated and how everybody was just buying in, not complaining, and it was hot up there. We had them in the sun, you know, sometimes kind of just as we're trying to get everything organized, and they just did really, really incredibly well. So very, it was a great blessing to see that. Megan and I were blown away by the attitudes. And someone did record the youth as they were worshiping. So we're going to be closing in just a little bit. I think what we would like to do, if possible, is we'll bring all the kids back in, and then we'll play that, if that's okay. It's just a, you know, four and a half minute clip, so that's something we wanted to do. I did realize that We do need to increase the budget for our video production team. But that's a different problem for a different year. So bear with us on that. And just kind of as we're closing, just some other miscellaneous things that are going on at camp on Friday evening. We also make sure that we're doing Sabbath together. So we break bread and we enjoy the sacraments while we're out in nature, just reflecting on the blessing of the Lord. And we do it in a place called the Meadows. So if you see kind of on the screens the picture of the group picture of everybody, there's a cross behind them. That area we call the Meadow. And so that's where we take, obviously, our camp photo. That's where we do Sabbath. That's where we do our worship. And it is just an awesome area to do it. It's a gorgeous setting. And there's just something different about being outside and singing to the Lord. So that's that. It never really seems to be loud enough. But there's just something different about it. And then on Saturday night, which is our final night there, we have our talent, no talent show. And we find out really quick who has it and who doesn't. but it really has become one of the favorite camp staples. It's just such a great time. We've got Stacy emceeing it. We've got DJ Malls, you know, holding it down on the switches and dials. And then we, exactly, spinning it. And we have everything from singing and dancing. We've got comedy skits, people making interesting noises with their bodies. This year we even had a world-renowned chef come, and so it was pretty cool. But that's just, you know, a fun time, just kind of close out camp and have a great time together. And then in typical DC fashion on Sunday morning, as we're getting ready to tear down camp and kind of send the campers back on their way, we do close out camp with the Aaronic blessing, singing a blessing to each other, just for that time, for the year to come, and then we close it up. So that is it. Can you go to the next screen over there? And can we maybe bring in the kids?